Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church. And welcome, this Good Friday. Welcome to you all in the sanctuary and to those online and those listening on the radio. Welcome, welcome. We're in a sermon series, as Pauline mentioned. We're looking at the place, the purpose, and the power of prayer. And we're asking ourselves, whose will be done? And we've had several weeks where we looked at different prayers within the Bible. And this week, we look at the prayer of Jesus. So our main scripture reading, Matthew 26, verses 36 to 45. And it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before his death on a cross. Sorrowful, troubled, deeply distressed, and in anguish is how Jesus was feeling in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his death on a cross. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, are the words that came out of Jesus' lips in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his death on a cross. On his knees, with his face bowed down to the ground, praying and crying out to the Father in heaven, is the position we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his death on a cross. Let down by his friend to be asked to pray with him is a situation Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his death on a cross. Sorrowful, troubled, deeply distressed, in anguish, his soul overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. On his knees with his face bowed down to the ground with sweat dripping from him. Alone, let down by the ones who were supposed to pray with him. It's a situation we found Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his death on the cross. Yet, though he was going through all of this, he made it a priority to pray. He knew that prayer was the only thing that was going to help him in the situation he found himself in. He knew that although his friends had let him down and didn't pray with him, that his Father in heaven would hear him. He knew that the only meaningful thing to do in this moment was to get down on his knees in prayer and seek the face of his Father. So here Jesus is. He's knelt down on the ground, face to the ground, sweating, crying out to his Father in heaven. And he says this: My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Now, if there's any passage of scripture in the Bible that shows you the humanity of Jesus, it's this one. Jesus, fully human and fully God. Because he was fully human, just like me and you, he struggled. He experienced a moment of weakness. Now, some people believe that if you experience weakness and you have no faith, that is a lie. If you experience a moment of weakness, it's because you are human. Jesus struggled. He experienced a moment of weakness. He experienced the inner battle within him. He experienced the flesh tugging at him, saying, no, you can't do the Father's will. But the spirit inside of him was saying, come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus. And recently I decided to watch The Passion of Christ, I decided to watch that again. And they do this scene beautifully. Jesus is on the ground and he's praying to the Father in heaven. And they put Satan next to him to try and help us to understand the battle that Jesus may have been going through. And the enemy is sitting there while Jesus is praying, and the enemy saying, you can't do this. You can't bring salvation to the world. All the sins can't be put on you. It's too much. Just leave it alone. But he carried on praying. And I truly believe that there are many of us in this place today who are here in the sanctuary, online, on YouTube, wherever you are, who are battling and struggling. Jesus has called you to a mission. He has asked you to do a task. He's asked you to speak truth into somebody's situation. He's asked you to be somebody's light. He's asked you to drop something. He's asked you to surrender something. He's asked you to let go of that job. He's asked you to let go of that relationship. He's asked you to use your gifts in this situation. He's asked you to proclaim his gospel. And you realize that what God is asking you to do is going to cost you something. But you really want to do it because you know it's the Father's will. And you really and truly want to say what he's telling you to do and do what he's telling you to do. And you can see yourself doing it. It's so close. It's so real. And you know that if I do what the Father tells me to do, it's going to bring full fruit. It's going to be glorifying unto God. And I really want to do this for you, God. But then the flesh, oh my gosh, the flesh is tugging at you saying no. And the enemy is there and he's lying to you. And the enemy is so good at lying. He will say things like, oh, you know what God has called you to do? It's a bit heavy for you right now. You're going through too many things. You need some time of healing. Let the Father heal you before you do that. Just not yet. Or the enemy would say, you know what God has called you to teach? You don't know that you don't know it too well yet. You carry on learning it. Carry on learning. Learn it in silence. Don't tell people about it yet. You just carry on learning that. Or God's asked you to drop something, to surrender it. And the enemy says, well, you know, you've been doing it for a long time now. And God has been blessing you anyway. So don't worry. Don't leave it. Don't drop it. God doesn't mind. Church, please understand, I'm not talking from just reading things in books. I'm speaking from experience. Jesus also experienced that battle when you want to do what God says to do, but the flesh is tugging and the enemy is lying. But Jesus, he didn't let the flesh overcome him. He didn't let the lies settle within him. What did he do? He stayed on his knees in prayer. He kept his mind focused on God and he kept his soul focused on his Father's business. And that's what we need to do when we're in that struggle. But how did Jesus's... Oh, here we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. All right, let's catch up. Amen. So how did the prayer help Jesus to overcome this struggle that he was facing in the garden? Well, I want to read from the account in Luke that we have. And that's Luke chapter 22, verse 41 to 44. So Luke, in the scripture of Luke, Jesus prays. He prays, you know, Father, may this cup be taken from me, but not as you will, but as, not as I will, but as you will. But what was the response to his prayer? Well, in the account of Luke, it says that an angel came and strengthened him. The answer to his prayer was strength. The Father didn't say to Jesus, oh, do you know what, Jesus, I my son, I can see, you know, you're overwhelmed with emotions. You're sorrowful, you're overwhelmed to the point of death, and you know, it's just too much. This task I'm sending you on is too much. You know, don't worry about it. God the Father responded in a way which says, Jesus, I know that what I'm calling you to do is a lot. I know it's a heavy burden, but I will give you what you need to do what I've called you to do. I will give you the strength to do it. And you see, that's the thing about God. When he calls you to something, he will equip you to do it, because that's the kind of God we serve. He will equip you to do what he's called you to do. See, sometimes when we pray to God, he doesn't answer the way that we expected him to. Well, that happens most of the time. He doesn't answer how we expect him to. And he doesn't give us what we want, but he gives us what we need. The question is, what do you do when God gives you what you need instead of what you want? Do you continue praying and saying, oh no, that's not what I want, God. This is what I want. This is what I want. Because if we pray like that, we have misunderstood the purpose of prayer. Prayer is not for us to get God to bend to our will. Prayer is for us to bend down and say yes to the Father's will. Do you reject what God has given you? Or do you accept it and say, okay, I'm going to do it, God? So again, how did Jesus respond to God the Father strengthening him through the angel? An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. What's happened here? Jesus was already in anguish before he prayed to the Father. The Father in heaven heard him, sent an angel down to give him strength, but Jesus is still in anguish, yet he continues to pray earnestly now. What's happened? I believe Jesus was praying. The angel came and strengthened him to say, this cup is still yours. I will give you the strength to do it. It is the Father's will. So Jesus is understanding, okay, this cup is still mine. Yes, I'm still in anguish. Yes, I am sorrowful, but it is the Father's will. And so now I'm going to pray more earnestly that the Father's will is done. Yes, I'm in sorrow, but God, your will must be lifted higher. Yes, I'm in pain, but your will must be lifted higher. Yes, I don't like this circumstance, but your will must be lifted higher. And so he prays more earnestly that the Father will have his way, that the Father's will be done. And is that what we do? Do we say, yes, Lord, I don't really desire this, but I want your will to be done? Do we lift his will higher than our circumstance? Do we lift his will higher than our emotions? Do we lift his will higher than our desires? Because when we do that, we are doing the Father's will. Complete and utter surrender and humility is what Jesus shows us in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before his death on a cross. And it's complete and utter surrender and humility God the Father calls us to have today. Complete and utter surrender. Yes, God, I know you're calling me to do this thing and I'm scared, I'm worried, but Father, your will be done. Yes, Lord, what you're asking me to surrender is going to cost me so much. But Father, your will be done. Is that our approach to prayer? Now, please don't misunderstand me. Jesus wasn't saying to the Father, I don't want to do this. Give it to somebody else. He was just being honest with the Father. He's saying, this cup, Lord, it's much. But not my will, your will be done. We can be honest with God in prayer. So what can we learn so far about prayer? In our darkest times, when we're in sorrow, when we feel alone, when we're going through the darkest hour of our night, the first response should be prayer. We can be honest with God. We can say, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. But your will be done. We can be honest with God. Prayer doesn't equal instant relief. Jesus was in anguish before he came to the Father in prayer. And when he finished in prayer, he was still in anguish. Prayer doesn't equal instant relief. But that does not mean God has not heard your prayer. And it does not mean that God hasn't answered your prayer. Through prayer, God gives us what we need. It's not always what we want, it's what we need. And prayer keeps us falling into temptation and focus on the Father's business. Jesus said to his disciples, pray so you don't fall into temptation. Prayer keeps us walking and following God and stops us from falling into temptation when we keep our minds focused on the Father's business. Prayer is for us to yield to God's will. Like I said before, prayer isn't for us to try and get God to bend to our will, but for us to bend down and say yes to the Father's will. And ask someone to cover you in prayer. So, see, this might be something that sometimes we can overlook when we read the scripture. But Jesus asked his closest friends to pray with him. Yes, they failed, they fell asleep. But there is an important thing in having people cover you in prayer and to pray with you. We have the prayer box at the back. There's prayer cards. If you need prayer, write your prayer and we will pray for you. Call a friend and say, I'm going through something tough. Listen, I need you to cover me in prayer while I pray as well. Call on your brothers and sisters to encourage you and to pray with you. Of course, it's Good Friday. But what does it mean? And because it's Good Friday, I want us to focus on the cup. What is it about this cup that is causing Jesus so much anguish? Why is it causing him to fall on his knees and pray to the Father? Why is it causing him for his soul to be overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death? What is it about this cup? Now, some people might say, well, you know, the cup, of course, it's about Jesus' crucifixion. It's about all the pain and the suffering he was going to go through. He was going to be abandoned. He was going to be mocked. He was going to be abused. He was going to be hurt. His hands and his feet were going to be nailed to the cross. They were going to put the thorns on his head. It's all the distress about what's to come. And whilst I agree with that, I don't think it's the whole reason Jesus was in so much distress. Why do I say that? Well, there's many who have gone before us who were persecuted and killed for their faith in Jesus Christ, yet they went to their death rejoicing and praying and singing. For example, we have Polycarp. He was the first recorded martyr. He was the first recorded one in the early church. And the Romans were persecuting the Christians. And they came to his door, they knocked on his door, and his friends were telling him, you know, run, run, run. And he said, God's will be done. He knew it was coming. And the Romans questioned him. They wanted him to renounce his faith. And they threatened him. They said, if you don't, then we're going to tie you up to wood, basically, and we're going to set you on fire. And he said to them, what's the wait? Do what you come to do. And so they grabbed him and they was going to nail him to the wood and set him on fire. And he said, no, don't nail me to the wood. I'll withstand the fire without having to be in place, is basically what he said. And so they set him on fire. And whilst they set him on fire, he was praying to God. He was absolutely fine. And then we have these two ladies, Perpetua and Felicity, from North Africa. They too were captured by the Romans, and they were told to renounce their faith, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. And so they were thrown to the wild beast, and they were beheaded. And whilst they opened the cage for the beast to come out and to eat them, whilst they were still alive, they were singing hymns and praising the Father. So if they can have joy in their death, it doesn't make sense that Jesus was in so much sorrow because of what was before him. In the Old Testament, when the cup is mentioned, it normally symbolizes suffering, the wrath of God against sins, against judgment. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17, Isaiah says this, "Awake, awake, rise up, Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath." Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 15 says this, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it." The cup that Jesus was about to drink had the wrath of God against sins in it. It has God's judgment in it. Well, why would Jesus have to drink this cup? Because our sins, the world's sins, were placed upon his shoulder, and he took the judgment for our sins, which equaled death. Him who knew no sin became sin for me and for you. Him who in eternity had never been separated from his Father was separated at this moment, because the sins of the world was put on his shoulder. The sins which separate man from God, the sins which equal death, is what was placed on Jesus. And so the wrath of God was on Jesus. He was separated from his Father in heaven for us to be set free. This is why he was sorrowful and troubled and in anguish and crying out to the Lord. This is why his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. This is why he was on the floor with his face bowed down, sweating. This is why he was crying out to the Lord, because he was about to be forsaken by God the Father. Never has God the Father forsaken any of his children, yet he forsook his Son for us, and Jesus willingly drank that cup. He did it for us. It's finished. He said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some people think he was just saying that. No, he wasn't just saying that. It was real. He was forsook by the Father because the sins of the world were on him. And sin and God, they don't come together. They can't come together. There was a separation between them. But Jesus took our sins on the cross. He was separated from God the Father for us. The wrath of God was poured out onto Jesus. The wrath against sins. And the cup that Jesus offers those now who believe in him is the cup filled with his blood, which has been poured out for the forgiveness of sins. The wrath of God against sins, that cup is empty. It was poured out onto Jesus on that cross, and now the blood that dripped from that cross He offers to us in the cup which is full of his blood for the forgiveness of sins. If we would believe in who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Lamb who was slain for the forgiveness of sins, the King of heaven, if we will believe and repent, we will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. Death no longer has a hold on you. It's not something that just happened many years ago and no longer has any significance. That blood is still available for everyone today. And of course, we know Jesus did not stay dead. On the third day, he arose. And so we look forward to the Easter Sunday message from Pastor. No pressure, Pastor. No pressure at all. So the sermon series, whose will be done? When we look at everything together, when we look at the prayer that Jesus prayed and the way he responded, ultimately, his prayer led him closer to the cross. And if our prayers don't lead us closer to the cross, if we don't deny self daily, if we don't deny the flesh daily, if we don't deny all our worldly desires daily, if our prayers don't lead us closer to the cross, we are not praying the Father's will. And whose will be done? The Father's will. Amen.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.